Hechel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is recording number 84 in the series entitled The Art of Love Part 2, Learning How to Love Yourself. This class was recorded live at Hechel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York, on the 19th of Tevis, 5760.
Good evening. We're in the middle of this 32nd chapter of Tanya. Welcome all those of you who are here for the first time this season. I want to wish Mr. Frank a mazel tov. We should only celebrate Simchas. Only. In the beginning of Perek Lamed Beis, we discovered the deeper meaning in the fundamental mitzvah of Avos Yisrael, of loving each and every single Jew, despite it apparently being contrary to our natural feelings to love and experience real affection towards every single Jew. Because the Alter Rebbe said it really depends on how you perceive yourself as a person and as a Jew. What elements of the self you are in touch with. If you're only aware of your physical self, of your ego, of your animal consciousness, then indeed the natural state of the ego is to be self-contained and self-centered. That's its natural position. For it to truly love someone without any ulterior motives is abnormal. For it to love someone, it has to be receiving something from that person. Its natural condition is to be self-oriented, self-directed. Its quest is to satiate the self. If you want the ego, the physical identity, to make space in itself and take in another human being, it's because somehow it feels that this human being can enhance it or supplement it or grant it something it doesn't have. This is all if you're in touch with your physical self, with your animalistic identity, with your ego. But when a person learns to get in touch with his soul, with his spiritual self. Here, the Alter Rebbe declared the picture changes drastically because the natural condition of the soul is to be connected, to be intertangled, to be united with its fellow Jew. Because the soul, by its very definition, is one part of many souls. It's a part of a whole assembly of souls. All the souls of all of the Yidden, the Alter Rebbe explained, originate in one single source, and all of them together form one body, one structure. So it's similar to the human physical body that may indeed be a composite of many compartments, chambers, myriads of components and elements, beginning from a brain all the way down to a toenail. Nevertheless, they all form one single structure, defined as one body, stemming from a single source, which are the procreative substances of its parents. And in the metaphor we discussed last week, that the Gemara Yerushalmi gives a Masichna Darim Perik Tes, no one wonders and asks a question why their left arm doesn't take revenge from the right arm for bruising it. Even when you bruise your left arm, it doesn't take revenge from the right arm. No one wonders why all the elements of the body get along so well. Why does it never happen that your brain gets really angry and upset with your mouth for eating that juicy piece of cake even though it was unhealthy? Why doesn't your brain get upset with your digestive system or with your legs or with your arms who performed certain deeds that are totally unhealthy? And the answer is that the brain will never start hating the mouth because that would mean hating itself. You're dealing with one structure. It would be taking revenge from itself. The brain and the arm and the leg and everything else, the whole body constitutes one living organism. The same exact idea is true concerning all of the souls of the Jewish people. My soul is being itself only when it's connected to your soul, when it's connected to another yid. When my soul is alone and self-contained, it's being robbed away from its natural self. Its natural self is that it's selfless. Its natural self is that it loves and it cares for another yid, just as it loves and it cares for itself, because you and I constitute the same self. The bodies divide us. The physical bodies make you one identity. There's a you and there's an I. But if I get in touch with a spiritual soul, myself, my spiritual self and your spiritual self are one and the same. The self of the soul is part and parcel of your soul. I had a personal experience I want to share with you. We learned this last week on Tuesday. After the class, I went to a vart, an engagement party, L'chaim, in Flatbush. And it was very nice. People were eating and drinking and saying L'chaim and wishing nice things. And there was some music. Someone was playing the piano. And then, as often happens, a group began dancing. And I went into the circle, and I also began dancing with everyone else. And then someone schlepped me in into the center of the circle to dance together with the father. So as sometimes happens, I'm sure some of you will be able to relate to it, I felt a little self-conscious. I felt awkward. I wasn't prepared for the role of being in the center, and I felt somewhat self-conscious. How am I being perceived? Am I doing what I want to be doing, and so on and so forth. And then, suddenly, a thought came into my mind. I said, Chachamein, you just finished learning Perek Lamed Beis of Tanya. You could be conscious of the self, but you're being conscious of the wrong self. If I focus on the ego and on the physical self, the natural position is to be isolated, to be self-contained, to hold my space. But if I get in touch with my soul, the natural position of the soul is to be dancing with another yid, to be connected with another Jew, to love another person. If one isolates himself, he's being disloyal to his own soul. He's robbing it away from one of its limbs. The soul needs love essentially because it's part of the other soul. And I started to dance very, very freely. And it was very moving for me. It was very inspiring for me. It was a small personal moment at a vart in someone's home in Flatbush. The soul is the most comfortable when it's with another person, when it's with another yid, when it's giving. On the other hand, when a Jew fights with his fellow man, when he experiences animosity, hatred, heaven forbid, and so on and so forth, the soul is being torn apart. One of its limbs is being taken away from it. So the challenge of the Jew is to become conscious of the real self. Instead of being conscious of the ego self, to become conscious of the soul self. This is the explanation the Alter Rebbe continued to say in the words of Hillel. Hillel said in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Lamed Aleph, Hillel said that when the convert requested from him to teach him the entire Torah while he's standing on one leg, he said, "What is the entire Torah? What is hateful to you, don't do to another person. Zeho kol ha-Torah kul, and everything else is commentary." How can you say this? How can one make this statement? Because the essence and the purpose of the whole Torah is one: to get in contact with a deeper level of self. Torah is the blueprint that guides us and teaches us how to achieve transcendence. Transcendence of soul over body, of energy over matter, of spirituality over physicality. That is what the essence of Torah is. And what is love? Love is transcendence. That is the definition of love according to the Alter Rebbe. When you look someone in the eyes and you love that person, you are transcending. You're transcending your physical space and you're entering into the domain of the soul.
It has to be a condition.
And this, you're right, this love doesn't have any conditions. It's as natural to the soul as the ego is natural to the body. You don't have to ask the question, why should I take care of myself? Why should I feed myself? It's natural. And the soul naturally transcends self-orientation. It transcends narcissism. It doesn't need a reason to love. So if I'm in touch with my egotistical self, there's conditional love based on a certain reason, on a certain quality, on something that excites me. The soul doesn't need a reason to love. It loves someone else like it loves itself. Because the soul needs selfless love like the body needs bread and water. So what's the tachlis, Dr. Rebbe said? What's the purpose of Torah? The whole purpose of Torah is to become comfortable with the element in the self that's incomplete. To get in touch with that part of self that is connected with the cosmic eye, with the transcendental eye, not with the animalistic eye. And therefore, Hillel says, if you want to know what the whole Torah is, loving another person. Because real love is transcendence. So therefore, if you integrate this element into your life, you have the essence of Torah. Everything else is commentary. Commentary on the statement. How can you say every mitzvah is commentary? Because every mitzvah opens up another window to the soul. Every mitzvah is another channel through which we can express our spirituality. Every word and nuance of Torah is ultimately here to teach us one thing: how to transcend our material boundaries and reach a more spiritual place. So what is the essence of Torah? Transcendence, and that's love. I read a story this week in front of the room, the private room of the Helik Chidushi Arim, the first Gerer Rebbe, Rabbi Yitzchak Meir of Ger, known as the Chidushi Arim. In front of his private room where he would accept people for private audiences, it was a long line with many, many Hasidim and other Jews coming to seek counsel, advice, and blessings from the Chiddush Erim. There was a long line, and one Jew who came from very far did not have patience. So he pushed his way through till the door. By the door was standing the Rebbe's personal servant or secretary. His name was Rabinim. A simple Jew, very loyal to his Rebbe, to his master, and to his job. And he was controlling and creating some type of order. But this Jew did not have patience. So he's trying to get through and enter into the Rebbe's room immediately. So Rabinim stops the way and doesn't allow him to go in. This Jew really became outraged and he smacked him in the face. So an uproar happened. People were extremely distraught by such an animalistic type of behavior. And Rabinim ran into the Chiddush Erim and told him what happened. And he says, "Explain to me, Rebbe, why I deserve this. I'm serving you so loyally and faithfully. I'm here for one reason. To help you out. Why do I deserve that someone should smack me in the face?" So the Rebbe says, "If you want, I can talk to him about it. When he comes in, I can talk to him about it." "Who was it?" He said, "I'm not going to tell you who it was. I just want to know why it happened to me." No, he leaves the room and the line continues. People go in and out and in and out. And then this man comes in. Chiddush Erim didn't know who it was, but when he saw his face, he recognized that he was the one who slapped the shamash, his servant, in the face. So he says, "Why did you do it? I cannot talk to you or listen to you until you go and ask for forgiveness." And the Jew began weeping because he came from far away. He never couldn't have children. He didn't have children for many years, and he came to ask a blessing to have children. And here, not only did he have to wait for so long, and not only did he get into a fight with his servant, but the Rebbe is refusing to speak to him. So he begs the Rebbe. The Rebbe says, "I'm sorry, I cannot talk to you until you make up with him." So he goes out, and he talks to the servant, and he tells him the story, and he says, "Come back in to the Rebbe with me and tell him that you forgive me." So they go back into the Rebbe. So the Rebbe asks the servant, "Do you forgive him for what he did?" He says, "I will forgive him only with one condition." So the Rebbe turns to the Jew and says, "Are you ready to accept this condition that he should forgive you?" He says, "Whatever the condition is, I'll accept it." So the Rebbe says, "What is the condition?" He says, "The only condition I'll forgive him is if the Rebbe gives him a blessing to have children this year." And so it was. He blessed him to have children, and he had a child. There's an interpretation in Chassidus on the famous statement of Chazal and Gemara, "Kol Yisrael Arevin Zebaza." Literally, Arevin Zebaza means all Jews are guarantors one for another. Like Yehuda told Yaakov, Yosef, "Ki avdecha araves hanar." Your servant has become the guarantor for Binyamin, for the lad. Arvus, a Jew has an obligation, he's a guarantor for his fellow Jew. That's what the Gemara says many times concerning various dinim halachas. So Chassidus says, the reason why Kol Yisrael Arevin Zebaza is because Arevin also comes from the word Taruvus, Mu'uruv, mixed. Kol Yisrael Arevin Zebaza. All Jewish people are intertwined, interconnected, interrelated with each other. They're all mixed together. And therefore, Kol Yisrael Arevin Zebaza, Arevin from the word Arev. Every Jew is zis, is sweet by another Yid. Because when you get in touch with the soul element, so as mentioned, the most natural state of the soul is to be connected to another Jew, because that's itself, that's its identity. The ego can become lonely. The soul, if you're in touch with your soul, you're never lonely. You can't be lonely. Because my soul and your soul are best friends. So at every moment, I can place my arm on yours and begin dancing. And it's natural. It's natural for the soul. Now, Alter Rebbe's Chassidim used to have a saying. They would say, "The shtickel breit was ich hab is deiner wie meine, which means the piece of bread that I have is yours like a mine. And the previous Rebbe emphasized, v'hayu magdimim milas deiner. Deiner is meine. They would say first the word yours. The piece of bread that I have is yours like mine. They would say first the word yours. So this is the first explanation in the connection of Avos Yisrael to the entire Torah. Because the entire Torah, again, is there to teach you how to elevate, how to transcend the soul over the body. And therefore, when you love another Jew, which means you have achieved that transcendence, you integrated the essence of Torah. Now the Alter Rebbe adds, we are up to Perek Lamed Beis Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, the line beginning with Almin, the word Vegam. Vegam, in addition to this, first the Alter Rebbe said that the Yisoid and Shoresh, the foundation and the source of the whole Torah, is to raise and to elevate the soul over the body. So now the Alter Rebbe says, Vegam, and also the foundation and the source, the essence of Torah is Laham Shecheirin Sav Baruch Hu B'Knesset Yisrael, to communicate, to draw down the infinite energy of Hashem into the assembly of Israel, Kamesh Kosov Lekaman, as will be explained further in chapter 41. The Hainu, this means B'Makar Neshamas Kol Yisrael, in the source, in the fountainhead of the souls of all of the Jewish people, L'mehevei Echad Be'echad Dafka, so that the one will reside within the one. V'loi kishayesh pirut chas v'shalom b'neshamas. But this indwelling of the divine energy is impossible if there is disunity between the souls, heaven forbid. The kochabrichu leisharya basar pigim. Because Hashem does not dwell in an imperfect, fragmented place. As we say in our prayers and davening, Barcheinu avinu kolanu ke'echad ba'er panecha. Bless us, our Father, all as one, with the light of your countenance, as is explained elsewhere at length. Hashem is Hashem Echad. Hashem is one. In order for us to become a receptacle, a channel for projecting divine energy, we must be one and unfragmented. L'mehevei echad be'echad is an expression of the Zohar. We say it in Kegavna, those Jewish communities that say Kegavna Friday evening after about the end of Kabbalah Shabbos, before Ma'ariv. L'mehevei echad be'echad. The one resides only in a space where there's oneness, where there's no fragmentation. This unity, divisiveness, is an obstacle that doesn't allow the flow of divine energy, because that's ego energy. Now, since the unity of the Jewish people comes as a result of their souls, not as a result of their egos, then in the source, all of the souls are one, as discussed before, like a physical body. So the indwelling, the drawing down of divine energy is in the source, in Knesset Yisrael, in the assembly of the Jewish people, which means in the source of all of the souls. So when the Jewish people are in touch with their source, they sense the unity, then Eirin Sav, the energy of Hashem, dwells within them. They say in the name of one of the great Hasidic masters, I think it's Reb Naftali Dobshitzer, he once said that as a child I learned there was some dispute between two Jews in the community, and he called them in and he said, as a child I learned, when you have tzvai yidin near each other, when you have two yudin near each other, in Polish you say yidin, when you have two yuds near each other, what does it make? Hashem's name. When you have two yidin, but one is on top of the other, one is inferior and one is superior, what do you have? A seif pasuk. The end of Torah. A safe pasuk, the end of a pasuk, is signified with one yud, one dot on top of another yud. That's the end of Torah. So the Alter Rebbe says that this is an additional explanation in the words of Hillel. The essence of Torah is creating an environment, making the world into an environment, and beginning with ourselves, an environment where there's Hamshachas Ein Sof, where divine energy is hospitable, is communicated, is drawn down, and that could only happen when there's unity among the Jewish people. So this explanation completes the picture. Because in Avas Yisrael, in the love towards a fellow Jew, there are two elements. There's the cause for the love, and there's the experience of the love. And both the cause and the experience are the essence of Torah. What is the cause that allows you to love? Transcendence. When your soul prevails, when your soul is emphasized in your life, that allows you to love another Jew. And that's the foundation of Torah, because the fact that you have an ability to love is because you have the essence of Torah. You're spiritual. Torah did something to you. You're in touch with the essence of Torah. You got it. In addition to that, the Alter Rebbe says, we got the love itself. Not just what allows the love is the foundation of Torah, getting in touch with spirituality. The experience of love itself, that makes you and us a receptacle for the indwelling of Ein Sof, and that is the foundation of Torah. So what allows me to love and the experience of love, both elements are what Torah is all about. Zehu kol haTorah kol. Now, this is all very nice, very beautiful, very pleasant, very loving. But by the Alter Rebbe, the foundation was Torah Achas, that all elements of Torah are one and the same, which means that the exoteric and the esoteric, the Kabbalah and the Nigla, the Chassidus and the Halacha, have to be integrated and form one essential program for life. And when you look into Gemara and Halacha, you find some other elements. You find some other teachings when it comes to this element of Avos Yisrael. So you can talk about the soul and talk about the mystical element. And Avos Yisrael is powerful. But when you look into Gemara and Halacha, we sometimes see issues that you mentioned earlier where there's a mitzvah to hate. The Alter Rebbe was called by his friends, the Talmidim of the Magid, a Litvak. Not just because he came from Lithuania, but also, as the Magid once said about him, that in his attitude, he was often like a Litvak. Everything had to be totally connected and intertwined meticulously with the last, finest detail of Halacha. Not just in practice, in theology. There was no such a thing as the soul of Torah and the body of Torah being detached in any way. That's why the Alter Rebbe's teachings, his perspective is revolutionary, because he synthesized all streams of Torah literally into a unified, comprehensive program for life. So till now in the chapter, the Alter Rebbe comes across as the mystical man par excellence. In the continuation of the chapter, he presents himself as the halachic man par excellence, and he integrates both facets into one singular whole in an extraordinary way until they become unified, one seamless whole. Because based on the above, it would seem that Avos Yisrael relates to what type of Jew? To every single Jew without exception. irrelevant of your background, of your behavior, of your lifestyle, of your knowledge, because the source of it is not a certain quality of that you have, but rather that my soul and your soul are essentially and intrinsically one. They are one and the same, and therefore I love you like I love myself. In Gemara, we see that there are Jews that you're permitted to hate, and not only that, that there are Jews that it's a mitzvah to hate. As for that which is written in Gemara, Shemi Shiraya Bechaveri Shechata Mitzvah Sinaisai, that if one sees his friend sinning, it's a mitzvah to hate him. V'gam Leimer L'Rabbi Sheyisnehu. Furthermore, also responsible to relate the fact to his teacher so that he will too hate him. And apparently this contradicts everything spoken above, said above. How can this idea conform with what we explained above? Which Gemara is he referring to? You know. Yeah. Psachim. Yeah. Psachim of Kofiut Gimel Amid Beis Perik Arvi Psachim. So the Gemara, Rav Shmuel, Rav Yitzchak, Amar Rav, Rav Shmuel, the son of Yitzchak, in the name of Rav, said that if you see your friend, Harayid Var'er V'Bachaveri, if you see your friend engaging in an immoral act concerning relationships, immoral relationships, even though you're not allowed to testify about it because you're the only one who has seen it, so therefore there's no two witnesses. So there cannot be any valid testimony, but nevertheless you're permitted to hate him. And he brings proof, because the pasuk says in Parshas Mishpatim, "Kisir echamor seinach harevitz tachas masayev echadalta mazev leyaziv tazevimai." If you see the donkey of the person you hate crouching under its burden, might you refrain from helping him? Zog the pasuk, you should help him. Frag the Gemara, my son, what does it mean you hate? You see the donkey of a person you hate crouching under its burden. What type of person would you hate? The Gemara doesn't understand. You're not let to hate another Jew. On the other hand, if he did an Aveira, and there are witnesses who did, saw him do it, the Gemara says, you don't hate him, the whole world hates him. Because there were witnesses, it's a public event. So the Gemara says, we must conclude that the reason you hate him, it's a private issue between you and him, is because you personally, individually, one witness, saw him engage in an absolutely immoral act, and therefore you hate him. The Gemara says, as Rashi puts it, Chare, hu yedeya bevade shehu Rasha, you certainly know he's a Rasha, and therefore you hate him. Zog de pasuk, notwithstanding the fact you hate him, you're obligated to help him, since his donkey is laying, lying, and crouched under its burden, you're obligated to hate him. If not, you're allowed to hate him. You're allowed to hate him. This is what Reb Shmuel said. Reb Nachman by Yitzchak adds, or says, not only you're permitted to hate him, it's a mitzvah to hate him. And he brings a pasuk, Mishlei Perek Ches, Yiras Hashem Snoisra, which means that fearing, true fear of Hashem includes hating evil. So Reb Acha asked Reb Ashi, is he allowed to tell his teacher also to hate him? So Reb Ashi responded, if the observer knows that he is believed by his teacher as two witnesses, then he should tell him. If not, not. That's what the Gemara says in Psachim. Fregd Alter Rebbe, how does this coincide? How does this work together with what we explained before? So the Alter Rebbe says, and he explains it based on examining precisely the term of the Gemara. The Gemara says, if you saw chaveri, if you saw your friend engage in an immoral act, so Gedalter Rebbe Hainu b'chaveri b'teiru mitzvahs. This is referring to only to one's companion in the study of Torah and in the observance of mitzvahs. The one whom you saw doing the aveira, violating that transgression, is on par with you. He is your friend. He is chaveri in the sense that he is on your level. He has the same approach like you. He knows what you know. He's on your level in studying of Torah and observing of mitzvahs. He's a partner with you. And he knows what you know. And Alter Rebbe says, and that's still not enough. Not only must he be chaveri in Torah and mitzvahs, but ukvar kiyim by mitzvahs echeich techeich samisacha. We're dealing in a situation where he, the observer, has already fulfilled with him, with the sinner.